Yeah, I do have a word that I'd like to share with us. So last, was it last week? I think it was last week I shared on Psalm 23. Feels like a long time ago. And I shared just around, just while we were in the States, just a couple of the things that the Lord laid on my heart. And some good old Psalms he took me back to. And Psalm 23 was one of them. The other one was my other favorite Psalm 103. Everyone say 103. 103, which is basically what we sang this morning. If you guys were here this morning, we basically declared Psalm 103 together. But it's such a special psalm, and I want us just to reflect on a few of the incredible truths that are locked up in these words that were penned by King David. And so I used to read mostly out of the New King James Version. I love the New King James Version. And so I know Psalm 103 in my heart, kind of in New King James language, which is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." But I feel myself being stretched lately to read some other translations. And so I've been reading through the NLT, which is a more thought for thought rather than a word for word translation. But it's kind of modern English, and it also opens up some new insights, new kind of avenues, new dimensions, new views of the same scripture. So we're gonna read through the NLT, if that's okay with you. Okay, so I'm gonna read from the NLT. So instead of saying "Bless the Lord, O my soul," there's some other descriptive language. It's "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name." Verse 2, the repeat, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love towards those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our transgressions as far from us as the east is from the west. And the Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him." You guys doing all right? You still believe I'm reading the NLT? Okay, it's about three of you. "For He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass. Like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been there. But the Lord," everyone say, "But the Lord." Okay, that was a mistake. "But the love of the Lord," "but the love of the Lord," just checking, "remains forever with those who fear Him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to His covenant." I keep on looking behind me, expecting to see the NLT, but I see the beautiful view of Franschhoek. "Of those who obey His commandments, the Lord has made the heavens His throne. From there He rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out His plans, listening for each of His commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve Him and do His will. Praise the Lord, everything He has created, everything in all His kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord." Okay, so this is an incredible psalm. It's a psalm of praise. And I want us just to, for a few seconds, reflect on a couple of these truths here. The first is that you must realize it's a call to praise. David is speaking to his soul, as the New King James Version says, and if the NLT, if we read that, he's saying, let all that I am praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes not all of me wants to praise the Lord. And in fact, sometimes it feels like very little of me wants to praise the Lord, depending on how I'm feeling or how I wake up or what circumstances, what battles I'm facing. You're like, man, this does not feel like a praise day. This feels more like a get back into bed day. You guys get those? And so sometimes we need to speak to our souls like, what's his name? Brandon Lake writes a song. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your songs. You got a lion inside of these lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. Sometimes we need to say to our souls, get up, soul. Get up, ja, jy, staan op, ons gaan nou die Here loof. Sometimes we need to speak to our souls. But David goes further here. He's not just saying, come on, my soul. He's saying, let all that I am praise the Lord. And that's challenging when you have to think like, strip everything away and we just say, everything within me, let all that I am, let everything that constitutes Richard or Derek or Jolene or Rosita, let all that I am praise the Lord. So what does praise mean? What does it mean to praise the Lord? I'll spare you the brain energy. To praise the Lord literally means to speak well of something or someone with exuberance. So praise, as I've often said before, it's not restricted to a Christian context. Praise literally means to get excited about something. So people are getting excited about Wimbledon, including us. The Booker? Hey, we won last night. Hey, it was close. Those Irish kept on coming back. Bless the Irish. But there was some praise going on. Where were they playing in Loftus? Or where is it? Yeah, there was some serious praise going on there. Praise of the Booker. So to praise the Lord simply means to redirect that which is going to the rugby. You give that to the Lord. And Rosita often helps us with this, not to get it confused, and to save the praise that's meant to be for the Lord, for the Lord. So it's basically saying, let all that is within me speak well of Him. Okay? With exuberance, with excitement. It means there's an emotional component to our praise. I'll say that again. We don't praise the Lord like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. No, then you're not getting it. Guys, if we can scream for the rugby, we can get excited about Jesus. And I often say, if you can't get excited about Jesus, you don't understand your salvation. You don't get that you were going to hell like forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But God, because He's rich in love and mercy, saved you from the mess you created in your life, ripped you out of that from the miry clay, put you back on solid ground and say, there you go, my boy, there you go, follow me and it will go well with you. Once we get that forever and ever I was going to hell, now I'm forever and ever going to be in front of the throne worshiping Jesus with the other saints, well, I think we can get slightly excited about praising the Lord because He saved our souls from death. Okay, so let all that I am praise the Lord. Sometimes we need to speak to our souls, say, now it's time to praise the Lord. But He takes it further. Line 2, He says, with my whole heart, I will what? Praise the Lord. Okay, with my whole heart, I will not see, but I will praise the Lord. Okay, then in case you missed it, verse 2, let all that I am praise the Lord. So David's making it really clear that we are to praise the Lord. And that we are to call up praise from our inward being, from our inward parts. And then he takes it further. He says, may I never forget the good things He does for me. May I never forget the good things He does for me. Why is David saying this? This is not a difficult question. It's a simple answer. Why is David saying don't forget? Because we forget. We forget. Go and read the Psalms. There's a constant call to not forget. Remember the things that I did for you in Egypt. Remember what I've done for you. Don't forget what I've done. Don't forget the mighty deeds. Don't forget how strong my right arm is to save and deliver. Because this is what we do. We go through a tough time. Okay, let's back up. Let's go to Jolene's thing. When it's going well, what do? We're like, oh, this is going lekker. I'll just read a little bit less Bible because it's going well now. I mean, I don't need to praise so much because it's going well with me. Nah. And then bam, you fall on your face or you bump your head against the wall and all of a sudden we run back to Jesus. Sorry, Jesus, I forgot about you. Now we're praising. Now we're worshiping. Now we're praying in tongues. Now it's 3 hours of worship. And then it goes well again and then we repeat the stupid cycle, okay? Because we forget, but we if you're a little bit like me, you kind of sometimes have to learn the same lesson over and over again, and then you find yourself at the end of the month, and you either got some financial challenge or some health challenge or something, but we forget that a month ago, it's not even that long, a month ago, God came through for you. An envelope arrived at your door and God came through, but now we're panicking. Okay, now all of a sudden ons bene wankel en ons geloof is op die rotse, né? But didn't God just come through like a month ago, like, and then before that was 3 months ago, and before that was 6 months. And so if we look behind us, we'll see goodness and mercy has been following us, but the problem is we don't look behind us. We just face our giants or our valleys and we get intimidated and we freak out. But all we need to do is look behind us and remember, oh yes, I'm going to be all right. And so the reason why he's saying, may I never forget, is because David probably forgot. I would imagine he's saying, let me not forget the good things he does for me. And then he recites a couple of the good things. Well, I've just spoken about this one. He forgives all my sins. Wow. He forgives how many of my sins? All. I like the word all. He forgives all my sins because he's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So is there a sin that you've committed that can stop you at the door? So like, I'm sorry, we don't do that sin. Sorry, you're going to have to go back to hell. Do we have any of those scenarios, or did Jesus pay for it all? He paid for it all as we sang it tonight. So he heals. There's more good news. We're going to get to the healing now. He forgives all my sins and heals how many of my diseases? All my diseases. Man, I've been hanging on to that one for the last few weeks. He heals all my diseases. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives my sins and heals my diseases. But wait, there's more. He redeems my life from destruction. He redeems me from death. There's a lot of theology in that, but let's leave it for there. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. Just imagine that. Just imagine the King of Kings comes and crowns us. Just imagine him coming. Just close your eyes. Imagine him putting on this crown, and on it says, my love and my mercy, it's yours on your head. Verse 5, what else does he do? What else are these benefits that we're not to forget about? He fills my life with good things. He fills my life with good things. If you just take a moment, you will realize that most of us sitting here tonight are going to go back and sleep in a house with a roof. It's probably warm, in a bed, that's dry. We're probably not going to go to bed hungry tonight. And most of us will have a friend or a companion to keep us company. He fills my life with good things. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. As you get older, you like this sentence. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Okay. Derek loves this. Okay, so let's backtrack. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget his benefits, the good things he does for me. Let's recite those once again. My sins are gone. My diseases are healed. My life's redeemed from destruction. He comes and puts a crown on my head, and then he fills my life with a lot of good things. Look at my good things over here. Wow, I am blessed. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Okay, anybody getting excited about the Lord yet? Okay, this is a good Lord. This is a good Lord. Bump your neighbor and say, this is a good psalm. He chose a good psalm. Yeah. Okay, verse 6. Now we start hearing about the Lord's heart. Okay. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all those who are treated unfairly, to all those who are oppressed. This is a God of justice. It's a God of righteousness. Verse 7, listen to this. He revealed his character. Everyone say character. Character. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. Now remember who's writing this. David is writing about one of the heroes of the nation, Moses. The author of the Pentateuch, he's speaking about Moses, and he's saying, guys, don't forget, God has not left us in the dark around what he's like. He revealed who he is, his nature, his character, his attributes. He showed Moses to this, and Moses wrote it down, and we've got the Pentateuch. David had those books, the law. So David was also not in the dark about God's character. He didn't just reveal his character, he revealed his deeds. And so, you know, I often speak about songwriting, and songs are often written from an experience or in context. You can even speak to secular songwriters, and when they get interviewed on the radios, the DJs will normally ask them, what's the story behind the song? What's the story behind these words? And very often the songwriter writes from either something good or bad or stretching or tough that they went through, or some amazing experience, some book they read, some movie they watched. There's normally a context to that which you express in song format or any kind of poem or something like that. And David, I would imagine, would read the stories of old, and many of the Psalms, if you go and read them, are repeats of what God did, say, for the nation of Israel. So even David would write about how God delivered them. And I mean, it's all there. I mean, it's the Nile into blood. It's the flies. It's the frogs. It's the animals. It's night. It's hail. It's, I think there's fire at one point. And just a plague after plague, and God just demonstrating and flexing his muscles over Egypt and in the land of Goshen, nothing is happening. And God just saying, watch when you trust me, watch who I am, and I will even take the firstborn. And you know what? I'll take you further. I'll take you through a desert, and I'll lead you to a place where you think there's no way, and I will split a sea for you to walk through. And so all of a sudden, it's not that hard to write a song about God. And it's a little bit like this. David is pulling on stories and tapping into stories of old, and much of the Psalms are exactly about this. His character, his deeds to the people of Israel. He reveals his character to Moses. He revealed his character to Moses. And it's as if David then goes further and he says, this is the character of the God we serve. Verse 8. The Lord is compassionate, he's merciful, he's slow to angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us. He doesn't remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. And so David starts describing the character of God. Man, I like this. Slow to anger, abounding in love. In a sense, unfair, in the sense that he doesn't punish us as we deserve. He does not deal harshly with us. Why? Verse 11, for. This is a beautiful word in the Bible. But and for, words like that. For, his unfailing love. Everyone say unfailing. So what's the deal with unfailing love? Does it run out? Does it get impatient? Is it like our love where after a while you're like, you know what? That was it. You stretched me. I'm done. I'm checking out. Like, I know I'm meant to have more, but my love has just hit a wall. Yeah, God's love is not like our love. God's love is unfailing. It doesn't run out. So why does he not deal with us according to the way that we should? Because there's this thing called unfailing love. The word says, for his unfailing love, here's a catch, to those who fear him. So there's a couple of caveats here in the psalm, and it's generally got to do with those who fear the Lord. And in this sense, we must understand the righteousness and the justice of God. So God's love, if the psalm is to believe, is not unfailing to those who don't bow their knees to him. Okay, so those that choose to reject God and die don't experience the unfailing love in that sense that those who fear God do. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is like what? So we were in America a few weeks ago and we went to the Kennedy Space Center. I didn't really want to go there, but I knew we needed to go there because it was right there where we were. And I'm not really like a space guy. I don't watch any space movies. There's people that watch, is it Star Wars? Something like that, Star Wars. It's like a big deal and T-shirts and all the merchandise and everything. I've never watched the Star Wars. I've maybe watched a little bit of it, but I think there's Luke Skywalker and there's a dude that says, Luke, I'm your father. That's about as much as I know. But space and things, I don't like space stuff. I like to be on the ground and to be where I feel safe. But it completely bowled me over this day at the Space Center. It just completely caught me by surprise. It was such an inspiring environment where you just realize that man for a long time pushed the limits and eventually succeeded in, for instance, getting themselves onto the moon. And so we watched all the accounts of that. And you would watch stuff and then screens would go up. And then the spaceship that went to the moon is hanging there. And or you're sitting in the very control room where, you know, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and these guys first made history. And you find yourself going, well, I found myself in tears a couple of times. Because you just realize there's these momentous, you know, occasions that you get a part to, you know, experience in a sense. But I remember getting a sense of kind of relative height in this day. And the next day, we actually watched one of Elon Musk's rockets go up. So we went to a rocket launch, and there's a lot of people. It's a big deal, and you go there, and you stand on the seashore and you wait for it and everybody's standing there and the countdown happens and, excuse me, all of a sudden this thing goes up and it's impressive. It's this, looks like a massive comet because it's just like fire and it's like going up and I was kind of initially expecting a sound with it but there's nothing. It's just this light that goes up into the air and you're watching it and within a few seconds, you just hear this. It's just like, it's like this, this sound waves just hit you, and you're just like, whoa! What's that? I can't do that again. I'm gonna like stretch a vocal cord or something. Still need to sing next Sunday. But it's just like, whoa! It's like, this thing's just going up and up and up, and you're like, your neck constricts, like, it's like, whoa, it's still going, and it actually starts kind of following kind of the curvature of the earth, and then it's gone and disappears as it kind of punches through the atmosphere and you know, gets into space. And then we thought the show is over, hey? And it's like, okay, well, that is amazing. But we realize everybody's still staying and they're all still watching. And within a few minutes, it comes back down again. And it's amazing that it comes down. You think it's going to fall into the ocean there off Florida's coast where all the historic launches are. But these days, they've got it so controlled that it comes down. And just as you think it's going to fall into the ocean, it kind of slows down like this and then kind of hovers. And then I don't know what happened to it, but it was pretty impressive. The reason why I'm telling this story is the distance from the earth to the heavens, it's pretty big in just a natural experience. Okay, I just for a moment experienced, and the word says, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. The unfailing, never-ending, relentless love of God is actually metaphorically indescribable. This is good news. Bump your neighbor and say, this is good news. This is good news. His unfailing love towards those who fear him, hopefully that's all of us, it's never going to run out. It's seriously high, okay? But wait, there's more. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Once again, this is metaphorical language. How far is the east from the west? What happens when the east starts chasing the west, or the west starts chasing the east? We go round and round and round and round because that's how far it is. So how far has he removed your sin from you when you repent and say, Jesus, I messed up. I'm sorry. I know I said I wouldn't do it again, but I did it again. Here I am on my knees. Please forgive me. Wash me as white as snow. Have mercy on me. What happens to that sin? Does it kind of go like a frog in front of you? And you like have to still stare at it and like, oh, okay, that's too close. I'm like, you know, this really smells. I was hoping for a bit further. Jesus, can we like do like a long jump? Can we like break an Olympic record and get over 10 meters? So I can just at least get a bit further away from this stench of my sin once again. I promised I'd never watch that again, and now I'm watching it again. It's like really repulsive, Lord. Does he kind of just nudge it along and say, well, have a stare of it and, you know, and hopefully you won't do it again? No, no, no. The word says when we repent, how far does he remove it? Man, I've got this visual picture of like a dustbin, and it's like it's that thing in your heart or that thing that you've watched or whatever, and it's like you take it out. You take it out of your life. You dump it in the trash can. Boom. Here it go. Kaboom. And then it's like, imagine like some supersonic thing going whoop around the world. And then you want to kind of look for it, but it's going around that way. And then you want to come look for it, but it's going around that way. And like, Lord, what about my sin? And like, you're never going to see it again. Because as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he removes our transgressions. If we repent, this is good news. This is good news. I think I'm possibly the only one that's excited about this, but it's fine. I love preaching it myself. Okay, so what's this God like? This character that David is describing. Now David goes into father language, family language. The Lord is like a father to his children. Now, I know many of you possibly didn't have good fathers, or some of you may even not have had a father or have a father. But just hang with me here. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate. Once again, here's the caveat, to those who fear him. And now David goes into describing not God, but us. He says, for he knows, God knows how weak we are. He remembers, in comparison to us who forget, he remembers that we are only, what are we made out of? Dust. Adam was formed from the ground. And then he describes our vulnerability. He describes the fact that we really have no guarantees. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We come up and then we die. The wind blows and then we're gone. And our place no longer remembers us. And so I want you just for a moment to see how fleeting life really is in the bigger scheme of eternity. Our lives literally are, they say, it's the Swiss Urwank. It's like batting your eyelids and boom, that was it. 80 years if you were lucky. And now it's eternity. And then a wonderful word comes in verse 17. But, everyone say but. Okay. But the love of the Lord remains forever. Don't you love how David is contrasting things? He's contrasting the character of God to the character of man. The fact that some stuff like our lives are fleeting, but the love of the Lord remains forever. You know, one of the main things that I've got out of this psalm is that the love of God is unshakable. The love of God is unfailing. Everything may fail. This world may fail. Your marriage may fail. Your business may fail. You may fail, but there's one thing that will never fail. It's the love of God. It's the one guarantee that you can go to bed at night and you may be panicking about just falling asleep, but you can hold on to one anchor, one rock. It's the love of God. There is nothing more powerful in the universe that man or woman can experience. Amen. But the love of God remains forever with those who fear Him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to His covenants. Wonderful intergenerational blessings, promises here. And then God is described once again by David, and he kind of just gives us the grandeur of God once again. The Lord has made the heavens His throne, and from there He rules over everything. And then David closes off this incredible psalm with a call to the angelic. And there's actually so much angelology in here, the study of angels, which is a sermon for a different time. Some of us don't even believe in angels. Trust me, they're there. They're with us tonight. They're listening whether I'm speaking rubbish or not. They're probably commenting on what's happening here. Amen. Thank you, sister. I take it. But David actually, in a sense, stirs up and calls on the angelic to join him in praise. And so he says, remember how he started, all that I am, praise the Lord. And now verse 20, he's saying, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out His plans. Whoa. Just think of the theology here. The mighty ones who carry out His plans. God is a planner. God is thinking up stuff, and then He releases and dispatches the angels. He says, "Julle moet gaan, Jolene, whatever, sy gaan oos London toe. You need to go, go, go. I'm saying, you 12, go with Jolene." I am convinced that when we were prayed for here by the elders, I actually got an image, a picture, as the elders were praying with her, as we left here. I don't know what you call a group of angels. It's a legion of demons, an army. There was this, no, but it wasn't an army. It was like as if like a smaller little regiment of angels. I'm convinced. I will see it one day, but I'm convinced a little troop of angels went with the waves to America and watched over us. A platoon, oh men, a platoon of angels went with us, and I could experience the protection, the peace. I didn't stress in America about stuff I stress. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't worry that we'd get burgled. I didn't worry about too much about safety. It was like as if like I knew it. The day we left and you guys prayed for us, I was like, we've got some serious bodyguards here with us. And the word says, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty one who carry out His plans. So God's plans are executed by the angels. Listen to this. You angels, listening for each of His commands. The angels are waiting for the commands of God. Yes, 21. Praise the Lord, you armies of angels. He speaks to the angels again, who serve Him and do His will. Okay, so there's if you want to learn about angels, there's two verses. You can go and get a lot out of that. But David goes further, and we close with this. Not just praise the Lord, everything that's within me, and praise the Lord, all you armies. How many armies? I don't know. How many millions, how many billions, trillions, zillions of angels that are up there? So he's saying, everything that's within me, praise the Lord. All you armies of angels, join me. We're going to praise the Lord. He goes further, 22. Praise the Lord, everything He has created, everything in all of His kingdom. Guys, if there was ever a call to praise in Scripture from one man, rousing himself and all created beings in heaven and on earth, this is it. Praise the Lord, everything He has created, everything in all of His kingdom. And then he brings it down to his home, his heart. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord. Wow, what a psalm, eh? What a psalm of praise. And so I want to encourage us in closing. We are in that season that Jolene spoke about this morning We are in the season where we are specifically called to press into praise. And here's the thing. Praise yields incredible spiritual results. Praise brings breakthrough because God inhabits the praises of His people. How many times in Scripture has God said, send the worship team in front and watch what happens to the enemy armies? So praise is a weapon. Praise is warfare. Praise is deliverance. But we don't praise to get those things. We praise God because He's worthy to be praised. And when we do that, you get the full package. And it's a fine line, but we don't praise God to get His benefits. We praise God who He is, for who He is. And because we praise Him for who He is, we get the benefits. Amen? Amen. And so I want to encourage us and to pray for us now that we, like David, in the next while, may need to speak to our souls and say, come on, it's time to get up and to praise the Lord. And I really believe that there's a contention, there's a battle for our spiritual inheritance, says Shofar Franchuk. I'm convinced that in a sense, spiritually speaking, we're a little bit like Jesus in the desert right now. And the devil is throwing a lot at us. He's throwing sickness at us. He's throwing discouragement at us. In a sense, we feel a little bit hungry. We feel a discomfort. We feel, Lord, what's going on? When this is going to end? Lord, I thought it's 1 day or 2 days. Now we're talking about weeks. And I sense that our battle is as we know, is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. And they are intimidated by what God has in store for Shofar Franchuk and for Franchuk. So we are being tested, people. And the only way to get through your hell is not to stop in your hell, is to keep on walking. But there's one way that's better. It's to praise while you're walking, okay? Because, as I've said before, you can go anywhere or you can go somewhere or you can go anywhere with God. You can choose. Am I going to be God-focused or am I going to be problem-focused? And I feel, as Jolene has also preached, we need to be praise-focused right now. And are we going to praise our brains out forever? No. We will praise as the Lord leads us. But right now, you will see we are pressing through in praise and we're choosing more praise songs than most of us are comfortable with. And so I want to say to you, if you've been a little bit uncomfortable in church, I'm sorry, not really. We're going to praise. We're going to praise until our flesh catches up and we speak to our souls and we say, let all that I am praise the Lord. Until this thing breaks and until we feel the release as the leadership of the church. And you're going to see this thing will fall in the Spirit. It started in the Spirit and it will end in the Spirit. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray. So we're going to pray until we feel the release. And I tell you, Jesus' ministry started in all seriousness and in power once He withstood the evil one. And I feel there's going to be a spiritual release over our church, over the healing center, over the ministry of our church, post this test for us. And so I want to encourage you. As jy moeg is vir die prys, byt bietjie vas. We need to press through. We need to speak to our souls and say, Lord, as long as this takes, we're going to keep our eyes on you. And here's the amazing thing, as David's also told us, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. I'll say that again. The battle is not ours. The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is the Lord's. Some of us need to give our battles to the Lord. It will go a lot better when we surrender and say, Lord, I can't fight this in the natural. I can't fight this on my own, like Jolene said this morning. I'm going to start going to church again. Hey guys, the church is too empty, okay? This is not good for our church. We need to go and call the people. We need to call them back, say, wanneer laas was jy in die kerk? Wanneer laas was jy by small group? Wanneer laas was jy by Bible school? Wanneer laas was jy by biduur? It's time to now start pressing in and to focus on God together. Amen? Amen. So let me praise for us. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to praise for us. That is prophetic. Okay? I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to praise. So Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the psalm. Thank you for the encouragement that David gives us, Lord, and we acknowledge, Lord, that as we read from his many other psalms, that many times he didn't feel like praising. Many times he despaired. Many times he asked, how long? Where are you, God? How long, O Lord, will you leave me like this? But Lord, how we read, how he every time managed to dig deeper and find words like but and if and when, and to declare, Lord, that even though it's going tough, you will come through. And so tonight, Lord, we respond to the truth of your word. And we, like David, Lord, want to speak to our souls and say, let all that is within me praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that is within me praise his holy name. I will not and I will never forget the good things he does for me. He heals all my diseases, forgives all my sins. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And so, Jesus, I want to pray for this church. And I pray, Lord, for us, Lord, that in a sense stand proxy tonight as those of this church that have come tonight, Lord, and braved the cold and have come to praise. And I pray, Lord, you don't need many. You just need agreement. You need unity. And I pray that praise would rise up, even if it's from just the core group, that will carry this church through the season, Lord, that we find ourselves in. Lord, we didn't ask to be here. In the natural, we don't want to be here. We want it to be summer, but it's winter right now. It's tough. We can't see what's going on, but we know you're busy with something. And so, Lord, I pray for the praise in this church to rise up from our hearts, from our spirits, because your word says that you desire spirit and in truth worship. And so I pray for a spiritual praise offering to rise up. And may we be like David that calls praise forth from our very beings, from our souls, from our hearts, and say, let all that is within me praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.